South Africa's ANC is holding a leadership poll during its national conference. It's facing more scandal with President Cyril Ramaphosa, the center of a cash controversy. But with elections in 18 months, what's next for the ANC? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Hazm Seeker. South Africa's governing ANC party has had a few challenging years. Its last president resigned after facing dozens of corruption charges. And our current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has been accused of wrongdoing linked to millions of dollars in cash found at his private residence. But as the party prepares to elect its next set of leaders, how will it address the growing economic challenges and high unemployment? We'll put that to our guests in a moment, but first, this report from Fremida Miller in Johannesburg.
Once celebrated as a liberation party that fought against racial segregation, in recent years, South Africa's governing African National Congress has been riddled by corruption and criticism. It's the party of respected global and African leaders such as Oliver Tambo and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Nelson Mandela. But 28 years into democracy, the ANC is facing increasing condemnation for poor leadership and governance. Since Mandela, subsequent presidents Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma were recalled or forced to resign. Current President Cyril Ramaphosa is facing similar pressure in a scandal involving the theft of hundreds of thousands of dollars from his game farm. The ANC's reputation for many is in tatters.
Kleptocracy, nepotism, cadre deployment from the very beginning of the ANC government, which then became a norm within the party and within the higher echelons of government. So even when people are found to have sullied their record, as it were, they still continue to be deployed as members of the ANC and as trusted members of the ANC. And that's what's led to rampant corruption.
A poorly performing economy, record high unemployment, an energy crisis, and a multitude of fraud scams have frustrated South Africans. The party won the first democratic elections in 1994 with a 62% majority. That dropped to 57% in the last polls.
Support for the ANC has been in decline for years. Some voters have protested against the ANC by staying away from the polls. Others have abandoned the governing party and voted for the opposition.
The Democratic Alliance and Economic Freedom Fighters dominate opposition voices. While their combined support of almost a third of voters can't be ignored, an ANC parliamentary majority has often protected its embattled leaders.
The ANC needed money, and the people who supported the ANC saw money as being something that they could get their hands on. So the solution was, you could relatively easily do what you wanted and get whatever tenders you wanted, provided you gave to Caesar a portion of it and kept a portion for yourself. And the rot began thus.
This weekend, the party will hold an elective conference to choose a president and other senior figures. Supporters hope the new leadership will revive the party. But for many South Africans, it's the same old faces with the same old scandals. Fremida Miller, Al Jazeera, Johannesburg.
Well, we did reach out to the ANC for someone to come on the program, but nobody was made available by the time we went to air. Well, let's bring in our guests now in Cape Town, Melanie Furwood. She is a political analyst and former member of parliament for the ANC under President Nelson Mandela and a former ambassador to Ireland. In Johannesburg, Moletsky Mbeki, chairman of the South African Institute of International Affairs, joins us. And also in Cape Town, we have Karam Singh, executive director of Corruption Watch South Africa. Good to have you all with us. So, Melanie Furwood, let me start with you. With all of the scandal that is surrounding the ANC and President Ramaphosa, what do you expect to come out of this Congress? What do you hope will happen? And are those two things the same?
Thank you very much for having me. I don't actually expect anything that dramatic at this stage. The big question for this conference is whether Ramaphosa will be re-elected for a second term. And at this stage, nothing seems to indicate that he won't get that. So I think he's fairly safe. And then the interesting thing is then going to be who else is going to be in the top six of the national the office bearers of the ANC, and whether they are supportive of him. And this is, of course, important because it gives us a sense of whether Ramaphosa will continue to be president and also for how long he will continue to be president. I certainly think that with all the problems, all the mistakes, all the scandals, as you rightly point out, despite all of that, I still believe that at this stage, Ramaphosa is the best of all the candidates available inside the ANC. The question now only remains then for how long would he then still remain president, and at which stage would he hopefully in a peaceful and orchestrated manner hand over to presumably Paul Mashatile, who will be the deputy president according to everything we can see at this stage.
Moleski and Becky, is that how you see it?
Yes, I tend to think that Melanie is correct, that Cyril Ramaphosa will get re-elected as president of the ANC, and he will continue as president of the country. But of course, there are still investigations that are being carried out by state organs about the foreign currency that was found on his private farm. So obviously, if he is found guilty on that score, he cannot continue as president. I think, though, there are many people who can replace him. I don't think there's anyone in this world who cannot be replaced.
Karam Singh, let's pick up on those the investigations such as they are that are going on around Ramaphosa right now, and this scandal over his finances. Do you expect those investigations to be credible and to lead to anything?
We got no reason to believe that they wouldn't be credible. The first hurdle was an independent panel that was appointed by Parliament to assess whether the President Ramaphosa had a case to answer and should face an impeachment inquiry. That report came out and said, yes, he did have a case to answer, but Parliament voted down the acceptance of that report, and then through that sort of closed down the impeachment process. But there is a ongoing police investigation. There's an ongoing investigation from the South African ombudsperson, the public protector. And, these investigations could uncover criminal wrongdoing, certainly ethical wrongdoing, and, will scrutinize the president's conduct. So there's still a little bit of a gamut that he has to go through. About these, quite serious allegations that emerged about his private business dealings.
Melanie, there is a question here as to whether the ANC, with all of this allegations of corruption that have been swirling around them, not just over the current president, but his predecessor and his predecessor before that, there is a sense that the ANC it has lost its way to the extent that it faces a credible threat of losing power. Is that how you see it?
Well, undoubtedly, the ANC has lost a lot of support, even in terms of their own membership. It was just revealed in the last few hours that their membership went down from, I think, 1.4 million 5 years ago to about 600,000 now, currently. So undoubtedly, the ANC has lost a lot of support. The only question is whether this will be reflected in 2024 and to what extent it will be reflected at the next general election, which, as I said, is in 2024. There are lots of speculations. And part of the reason, of course, why I don't believe the ANC will be totally annihilated, they will still be the majority party. The only question is, how much will it be? How much will they have? Will it be under 50%? And if it is under 50% of the support, how far under 50? And part of the reason, as I started saying, that I don't believe that they will be totally annihilated and will remain the majority party is because the opposition is extremely fragmented and weak. And thus, even though with all the frustrations, all the lack of service delivery, the problems we have in terms of our electricity provision at the moment, the corruption issues, as you rightly point out, all of those things, yes, they will make a dent in the ANC support. The only question is how much. And the interesting thing that we saw with our local government elections about 2 years ago is that the traditional ANC supporters did not move to another party to a large extent. There were some exceptions, but very little. They actually just didn't come out to vote. So, and that impacts, of course, quite a lot on our proportional voting system that we have in this country. So to, in short, to say, yes, they have definitely lost support. I'm sure this will be reflected in the national election unless they can seriously pull their act together in the next 2 years or so. But I do believe that they'll stay the majority party. The only question is whether it will be an outright majority over 50%.
Moletsky and Mbeki, given the dominance that the ANC has had in South African politics in the post-apartheid era, how much of a dent do you think this will put in their popularity and in the election 2024 election going forward?
Well, the 2024 elections are still a long way away, up to 18 months away. So I think it's a bit premature to predict election outcomes that are coming in 18 months' time. Yes, the ANC is the largest single party in South Africa, but at the end of the day, it's whether it gets 50% plus one for it to rule the country on its own, or it will need coalition partners to rule the country. What has been happening, though, in the last 5 years, as has been pointed out, is that the ANC, the traditional vote of the ANC, a big part of it is the black working class in the major metropoles are staying at home and not voting for the ANC. They are not voting for the opposition either. But in that situation, the opposition benefits under our electoral system.
Kadam Singh, if we talk more specifically about this particular scandal itself, the so-called cash in the sofa scandal, as it's been called, does the president's explanation for this stand up to scrutiny, as knowing what you know right now?
Well, you know, up to this point, the president really hasn't given a full public disclosure about what happened. So we have sort of piecemeal pieces of information, representations of the president's story as were presented to the independent panel. So, you know, it really remains to be seen exactly what happened. What did the president know? Was there an attempted cover-up? You know, I mean, I think it is important to note that the allegations, of this matter emerge from an implicated spy boss, someone that was implicated quite heavily in the State Capture Commission of Inquiry. So the origins of the allegations come from a suspect source. But, you know, we do know that the president has not fully divested himself from his personal business dealings. And there are basic facts that we have in place, such as the fact that the president received a large sum of cash in foreign denomination, which he didn't bank. You know, and that really is a red flag for the types of corruption challenges that we face in South Africa, challenges around an economy which is vulnerable to things like money laundering and illicit financial flows. And you know, the types of allegations the president's facing really are the types of red flags that you see in a scenario where, almost where you're looking at kind of an organized crime type of scenario. So the president must overcome these issues. I share the concerns of the fellow panelists in terms of the bona fides of the other leadership within the ANC who may come in this president's wake. So, I think the ANC will have a tough case to sell the general public ultimately about its stewardship in the fight against corruption.
Melanie Furwood, what's your take on the specific allegations here and the president's defense of it?
I think there can be no doubt, as Karam correctly said, that the initial complaint and allegations are politically driven. There is no question about that. But the question then arises, or the questions arise, to what extent there were some little bits of truth in these allegations, and we'll have to wait and see. You know, if everybody has mentioned that there are still ongoing investigations from our Revenue Service and also our Reserve Bank to check whether there have been any big mistakes made. And our president have said that if any charge is laid against him, he will step aside, he will resign, and I do actually believe that. We really have to wait and see. I don't know if Moletsi will agree with me on this, but personally, I do not believe that this is a president that is inherently corrupt. I also don't think he's stupid, that he will deliberately have made, you know, hidden money from the Reserve Bank or hidden money from our Revenue Services. He is rich enough. The amount is not that significant within his context of wealth. There might have been, in my view, there might have been some mistakes of oversight and of negligence, but I'm yet to be convinced that this was a deliberate attempt by the president to commit fraud or to commit a crime by not declaring money or not banking it in time.
Well, let's see if Moletsi does agree with you. What's your take on this, Moletsi?
Well, I'm inclined to think it wasn't. Money wasn't his personally for him. It was probably going to the ANC. How it ended up on his farm and all those issues, I don't know. But really, I'd rather not speculate on this matter because we just don't have enough information. There is this Sudanese gentleman who says he bought wild buffaloes from the president's farm for $580,000. It's still not clear how he knew that the president was selling 20 buffaloes, and it's still not clear how did he know that how much 20 buffaloes were going to be sold for. So my own suspicion is that it had, and the buffaloes, by the way, which were bought nearly 3 years ago, are still on the president's farm. They have not been taken to Sudan or wherever this gentleman wanted to take these buffaloes to. So you spent $580,000 buying animals. Admittedly, Mr. Hakim, the Sudanese is called Mr. Hakim. He says in his world, $580,000 is peanuts. So I guess it doesn't matter that his buffaloes are still in South Africa 3 years later. But then why go to the trouble of buying them if you are not going to take them away? So, you know, like I said, I think this is a story for the investigators. Until the president and the investigators tell us the real story, I think we can spend all day speculating.
Let me get your take on this, Karam Singh. Regardless of what happens out of this particular investigation, there are those who say that over the years, the ANC... allegations of corruption have dogged the ANC to such an extent now that it's become almost the norm. Is this something that that could really affect them long term? That this is something that they really need to shake off?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the ANC has been the governing party since 1994, when South Africa had its first democratic elections. It oversaw the establishment of the constitution and democratic governance in South Africa. But since that time, we've seen the creeping shadow of endemic corruption. We saw grand corruption very early on in South Africa's democracy with the arms deal, and then we saw sort of at least 10 years of state capture for which we've just completed a long judicial commission of inquiry. All of that happened on the ANC's watch. If you look into the details of the Zondo Commission's report into state capture, the complicity of the ANC, and it's not just Jacob Zuma, it's leadership prior to Jacob Zuma, and we've seen significant grand corruption scandals since Jacob Zuma left the scene. So this is the ANC's legacy. This is what the ANC goes to the polls on. And, you know, we've already spoken about other issues such as, declining services and the challenges of building a capable developmental state. So, it's feeding ground for opposition parties to put a different a case to the electorate. But as the panelists have said, the likelihood is that the ANC will still remain a majority party, possibly below 50%, and we could be moving into an era of coalition government. And perhaps that will be sufficient to shift the political narrative, towards a more kind of coherent, pointed, and dedicated fight against corruption. Up to this point, we've really been dealing with the wake of state capture and trying to revitalize institutions like the Revenue Service and the Prosecuting Authority that were really hobbled. So, it's a window of opportunity, but it all still needs to happen.
Let's talk a little bit more then about some of the issues beyond corruption. Then, Melanie Furwood, the South Africa is facing some real problems right now as it battles with soaring commodity prices, the fallout of Russia's war in Ukraine, power cuts, further dents to an economy that's still reeling from the COVID-19 pandemic. Is the government properly equipped to deal with all of this? Is it handling it in the right way?
Hazam, let me just first say, I think the one thing that we mustn't neglect to say is that, yes, there's been corruption in South Africa on a large scale. Nobody can deny that. But prior to the Zuma years, even the arms deal and so on, there were investigations into that, and it was exposed and it was dealt with. Some of it's still being dealt with. Under the Zuma years, of course, corruption did become endemic, and it wasn't treated correctly, and it wasn't prosecuted to the extent that it should have, and it grew to a point which was totally unacceptable. But since Ramaphosa has been there has at least been attempt from his side and from the ANC's side, even though there was a lot of pushback as well from certain quarters, those who were involved, to really try and cut down on corruption and to really deal with the issues. So I just think it's important to mention that, and particularly to a foreign audience who's not always aware of the detail, the minutiae, what's going on in South Africa. In terms of the challenges that face South Africa, they are enormous. They were always enormous, and they haven't reduced in size, they most probably have grown. For example, one of the biggest problems we currently have, and that's impacting very negatively on our economy and on just social and economic welfare, is in general, is of course our problems with our electricity providers. And those are not problems that are going to go away quickly, and they are largely through the making of the ANC government. Is the ANC government equipped to deal with it? It's a bit of a yes-no answer for me. I don't know if anybody else is much better equipped to deal with it, but the challenges are huge. It's going to take time, and it's not something that's going to pass in the next few years for us in South Africa.
All right. Well, just briefly, Maletsky and Becky, in the less than a minute that we've got left, big problems in South Africa right now beyond just allegations of corruption. Do you have confidence that this government can deal with it?
Well, the government has been in power since 1994, and we are sitting on 44% unemployment in South Africa, and as has been mentioned. This electricity supply, which is the backbone of employment creation, has been erratic for the last 15 years. The government hasn't been able to solve that problem. So the answer from me is no, I don't expect the ANC government will be able to solve the major economic problems South Africa faces in the coming 10 years. Since it couldn't solve them in the last nearly 30 years.
On that note, we are going to have to leave it. Thanks very much to all three of you, Melanie Furwood, Maletsky Mbeki, and Kadam Singh. Thanks very much for being on Inside Story. And thank you, as always, for watching. Remember, you see this program again anytime. Just go to our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. From me, Hazem Sika, and the whole team here, bye for now.